We'd invite you to follow along the scripture as I present it to you today from God's Word, looking at the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter, verses 9 through 17, and I pray that you're going to receive a great blessing from this passage. As the Father has loved me, Jesus said, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. For greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This I command you, to love one another. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Got a random question for you this morning. If you were to walk into this room with just a few people here, and you looked up, and there was Jesus, and he walked over to you, and he put his arm around your shoulder, and he looked at the other people, and he said, I want to introduce you to my friend. I have to ask you, just what characteristics would you and I have to possess where God, in his Son Jesus Christ, would call you personally his friend? Well, in today's scripture passage I just read, we understand our Lord equates friendship with him on the basis of how we love each other as well as Jesus. That's how he equates or qualifies friendship, how we love each other and how we love him. He states emphatically that love is the first priority in any community. The community of a town, the community of a family, the community of the church. Because love is the greatest gift of all time. You cannot have a greater gift to experience in your lifetime than to be truly loved by another human being. In fact, the Bible says that faith, hope, and love, these three things are great. But quite frankly, you and I know in our spiritual walk that faith wanes. It ebbs and flows. We also know that quite often our hope is based on our need for hope. But love? Love is eternal. Love never ends. Love exists for all eternity because God is love, as I share with the children. And that love is the expression of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I don't care where you are and what part of the world, you'll find that love is the universal language of all humankind. So Jesus speaks about obeying his Father's commandments as it pleases God, and it shows our commitment of love to the Father. And likewise, Jesus says, I want you to show your love for me by obeying my commandments and by loving each other. The proof of our friendship is demonstrated in truly loving one another in the family of faith, not out of obligation, not out of a sense of duty, but out of genuine care and affection. And you can always tell the difference, can't you? On this Sunday before Valentine's Day, when we commemorate our love for one another, and on this Sunday, quite frankly, when we recognize the Scouts and their love of God and country, expressed in many acts of service and deeds. I think it good for us to think about the four truths found in Christ's commandments to his disciples. The first is priority. Hear this in verse 12. My commandment is this, love each other as I have loved you. Notice the pronoun, my. My commandment. It's the commandment of Jesus. He takes all of the Ten Commandments and breaks them into two segments. The first five we know, love the Lord your God, don't have any other graven images. It's all about God, the first five commandments. And so he says, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. The last five. Love one another as God has loved you. The last five of the commandments, don't steal, don't kill, don't covet. It's all about one another. So here we have Jesus setting the priority. And notice Jesus does not end the sentence simply love each other, but rather love each other as I have loved you. Well, that leaves us no corner to hide in. Love perfectly. Love completely. Love as only I know how to love you. And secondly, okay, if we're going to have this priority for love in our lives, then that kind of gives us a predicament here. It does. We cannot love each other the way Jesus loves us unless one thing happens, and one thing only. Unless Jesus lives inside our hearts. How do I have Jesus live inside of me? Well, how do you participate in anything? You invite it to become a part of your life. You invite a person to be a part of your life as your friend. You invite some activity to be a part of your life because you participate in it. If you're going to invite Jesus into your heart, then when he's there, you can love like he's asked us to love. Oh, did I say ask? Like he's commanded us to love. The predicament is, well, that means that I've got to get some of this me business out of the way. I've got to leave some room in my heart for Jesus to come in. Fill me up, Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. That's the predicament. We've got that choice. We've got that thing in front of us. Less me, more Lord. Love's so interesting, isn't it? It can be, oh, so fragile, but oh, so strong. If we feel slighted, it can absolutely break our heart and break our love. If we are being depended upon, our love is just strengthened almost to the point of exhaustion. Sometimes we obviously misuse love. We can manipulate a person and perhaps not even be conscious we're doing it. But we are out of our own selfishness. Yet we call it love. We can be protective of someone to the extent that we have constricted that person by our protectiveness from growing to be the independent person, the spiritual person that God has called them to be. We can rush to buy Valentine's gifts to cover ourselves to prove our love. How genuine is that? Is it obligation or love? Or just merely trying to keep out of trouble? The Jesus speak for the day is love doesn't need a special day to be expressed, but obviously a day to remind us to express it. But agape love, you see, doesn't have anything to do with all that. Agape love is what Jesus is speaking of. It's something altogether different. It is a selfless love. It is an urgent love of the heart. where you're so focused on extending a heartfelt grace and care and love that you're not even thinking about yourself. So back to the original question. What would it take for you and I to possess in our hearts and our minds for Jesus Christ to walk in and say, "Hey, friend"? Well, it leads to the third point, the principles of divine love. We've talked about priority, predicament, and now principles. The kind of love Jesus showed us in verse 13 when he says, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." The principles of divine love have all to do with sacrifice. Let's look at it. The first principle of his love was his freedom. He laid it down. He freely gave what he gave, his life for us. There was no coercion. He was willing to go to that cross because of all the love he had. Jesus did what he did for us because, for him, there was no other choice. And that's the great question that we ask ourselves when we're trying to judge our own actions. Are we doing it freely? Am I doing what I'm doing because I want to do it? Or am I doing what I'm doing because it's expected of me? Am I giving what I give, money, gifts, time, talent, effort, energy? Am I giving that because it's expected of me? Or am I giving of it begrudgingly? Or am I giving it because I need to do that? I want to do that. Granted, it's frustrating at times, isn't it? We get so caught up in our work, in our project, in our ins and outs of everyday life. We get a little tired. And I don't know about you, but if you're a little hungry or a little tired, you get a little fussy. And you may just go, "Does anybody appreciate all that I do?" Does anybody notice what all I do? Why do I even bother? If you and I find ourselves saying that in our minds, in our attitudes, in our hearts at any point in time, chances are we're not giving it freely. I mean, granted, it's a little difficult when you feel like you're at one end of the log by yourself carrying it and there's nine others on the other end. But listen to 2 Corinthians 9:7. God loveth a cheerful giver. And that doesn't just refer to money. It refers to all the things, the time, the talent, the energy, the gifts, just the effort. So, love is patient and kind. Apostle Paul hits us again. 1 Corinthians 13. Our love is an expression of good. It is an act of goodness. You say, "Well, I don't wish harm to anybody." Well, that's good. But that's kind of a passive love, isn't it? An active love is that intentional, focused, "I want to do this. I need to do this for you." Quite a few years ago, student appointment, finishing out my seminary degree. So much like a student teacher understudies a teacher in the classroom, I was understudying no one. The poor church had me just learning how to do church, be a pastor. I was so green, I should have paid those people to listen to me every Sunday. It's moving day. And Tony got sick, and I mean really sick. He had his first bout of kidney stones. Moving day, you kind of need to have it together. You need to feel your best, have lots of energy, be focused on who to tell, where to, what to go, and which room and all that. You know, you've been there, you've done that. But we were unprepared. But there we were, warm June day, and he is just so sick. But you know, this little tiny town came together, and the church became the church. That active goodness, you see, that agape love. And they came, and we were all moved in. And they brought food, didn't have to cook for a week. And they made sure he was as comfortable as he could possibly be. It was a small house, kind of country-like town. They even brought an extra air conditioning unit. They were fabulous to us. Dropped what they had planned for the day, and they just simply took care of us. Agape love, my friends. Active goodness. The second principle of life, Jesus freely laid down his life. No greater love has a person than this, that he laid down his life for the friends. My mind immediately connects to those who give daily risk and sacrifice of their life. Police officers, firefighters, freedom fighters. We're going about living our days, feeling pretty confident about where we're going and what we're going to do, because these people are in place doing what they feel called to do, to be ready to sacrifice for us. Divine love, sacrificial nature goes hand in hand. In other words, when we love, it costs us something. Love costs, and it's not necessarily gifts. The five love languages, I may have mentioned it to you before, it's a book by Gary Chapman, and he talks about everybody desires love, but everybody usually receives love, messages of love, in five unique different ways, one more than the other. And those five ways are words of affirmation. Some just hang on for it. Gifts. That's how others perceive love, that you love them. Acts of service. Oh, I can't believe you did that for me. Quality time. I just want to spend an afternoon with you. I just want us to go to church together. Or physical touch, when you know you don't have the words, they're just not coming to you, but you know a simple hug or just holding a hand will be enough. You see, actual love itself is sacrificial in nature, thinking about what the other person really needs, and suddenly, you understand that any sacrifice is totally penetrated and absolved because of the sheer joy that you feel from that act. I believe that's what Jesus was saying, so that my love may make you complete. Jesus affirming friendship with the body of Christ is extremely important. We are a body of Christ. But you know, connectionalism, like I was talking about earlier as we were doing our shared gifts today, thinking about that, we grow stronger as we are connected to a sister church, and all together we can do so much more than we do just alone. It's the same thing in the body of Christ. You come forward on any given Sunday and you've worshiped. But at some point, I pray the Holy Spirit takes you from someone that's simply sitting in a chair to someone that's invested in the church, to someone that has grown through the fellowship of a small group like Sunday school or Bible study or United Methodist Women or any number of groups that we have. And that then you grow from the fellowship of a small group into becoming a true disciple of Jesus Christ, leading and participating in the life of the church, which goes, by the way, far beyond the walls of Asbury. You see, that connectionalism, it's a growing cycle of faith, and it's so important. It's what Jesus intended. It's the only way that we grow in the Spirit. Here again, Romans 8:28, because you and I were created and called to serve the Lord according to His purpose. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Maybe you don't know completely what your purpose is, but it begins in divine love. And it will manifest itself as long as you've got your eye on the cross. And the Holy Spirit will convict you and you will know what you're called to do. Genuine love changes people. It truly does. Withholding love, unfortunately, changes people too, but in a detrimental way. Both for them and you. That's what Jesus meant when He said to love one another so that our joy may be complete. And then Jesus said, so that then we can go forward and bear fruit. That's the final product of the love principles that Jesus gave us in this passage. Bearing fruit. I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Jesus is saying, eliminate your pride. Jesus is saying for you and me to become humble. Jesus is saying for us then to go and bear witness to the world, because love will have results. Others will follow suit as we go and administer love to a hurting world. And there's so many opportunities to do that. We can become overwhelmed. Perhaps this Lenten journey is a great time to acknowledge and determine one way you're going to help a hurting world. Love turns frowns into smiles, encourages selfishness to become selflessness, and is definitely a healing balm. Jesus knew this as the cross loomed closer and closer to Him. He sat down with His band of 12. And He gave them a new name and title. If you're a student of the Bible at all, you'll note throughout the Bible that when anything great and significant is about to happen, there's a name change. Abram became Abraham and became the father of many nations. Jacob became Israel, and he led the 12 tribes of Israel, carrying on the legacy of Abraham. That's not just an Old Testament thing. Here's Jesus doing a name change. He says, no longer do I call you servants, but I call you friends. The relationship has changed. Something significant is about to happen. You bet. He's going to the cross. He's going to die. He's going to be raised. He's going to offer the gift of the Holy Spirit in 50 days. And then it's up to them. It's a tremendous change. No longer are they going to serve Him. They're going to be the friends to the world with the gospel, the good news of the risen Christ as His Savior to all mankind. It was based on free, sacrificial, and gracious love. My friends, I don't care if you're in the corporate world or where you are. You hear a lot about strategy. You hear a lot about process. You hear a lot about, okay, what's the objective here? You hear a lot about, that's a tremendous change agent, isn't it? I'll tell you something. No corporation will tell you. Love is the greatest agent of change. Amen? I'll close in this. In the movie Forrest Gump, we're introduced to a mild character who just wanted to be everybody's friend. As the movie unfolded, we saw his innocent actions turn unlikely characters into tremendous friends. And transformed them with tremendous responses. A like-minded fella named Bubba became, through this friendship, a brilliant business partner. An arrogant, usually annoyed by Forrest Gump's behavior, Lieutenant Dan transformed into such a person that he was honored to be Forrest Gump's best man at his wedding. His bride, the former abused and neglectful as well as neglected gal named Jenny. And well, his mother, she knew how to express to Forrest how to live his life to the fullest, how to love the best he would be able to love.
Hello. My name's Forrest, Forrest Gump. Do you want a chocolate? I could eat about 1.5 million of these. My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
There was Jesus with a variety of people. He called his servants, but now were his friends. And one would betray him, but one would found the church because he was the Peter, the rock upon which this church would be built. That 2,000 years later, here we are because of that faith, that tenacity. And yes, most of them died unlikely deaths so that you and I could be here today and share in the fruit of their witness. Do we just hoard that? Or do we share that in a world where so many people are denying Christ? Do we go forward and share that fruit, bear that fruit, so that we are the witness? Oh, life is like a box of chocolates. There's all kinds of people out there for sure. But like Forrest, we just offer it, you see. Whether it's accepted or not, we'll never know unless we offer it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.